Hi and hello, podcasters. It's your old pal Dave. Dave Damashek here. David Feeney over there. Welcome to episode number 80 of Dave's of Thunder. 80 tributes. I suppose we have to go with Jerry Rice. People say he's the greatest.
What's going on?
You've only had 3 weeks to get polished up there, and we're already screwing things up behind the glass. And we have two producers, not one. I will say hello to them.
You're already going to lists first before you introduce
me.
Once again, I don't believe it.
I was talking about 80. That's how we start every show.
Good evening, Bubby.
Steve Largent is another one. Yeah. And now to business.
Great. No, of course.
How are you? How are you?
What's happening?
How's Hollywood?
You look good.
Do I really?
You look really good. You've lost a couple pounds since I've seen you.
I don't think that's the case. How are you doing?
When's the last time you weighed yourself? Can I ask you that real quick?
Guessing sometime in since autumn has fallen. I think it's I probably have jumped on the scale in the last week or so.
Is there some sort of thing like NFL players, if you get above a certain line, the NFL.com, they won't employ you anymore, they won't do it anymore, or no?
Yeah, well, because they...
What's that number?
Well, it doesn't make a difference what my specific number is, but if I get a little too zoftig, if I get a little too husky, a man of my carriage has no business having a camera pointed at him. They get that. I get it, too.
You weigh yourself every week? Be honest with me.
Something like that.
You
do? Really?
Why are you so vain?
Things aren't going well.
I haven't got on a scale in years.
Really?
Yeah, years. My wife is on the scale like twice a week, easy. Maybe even once a day, to be honest with you.
She doesn't care about what you look like? Is that the thing?
I think she does care about what I look like, but she knows I'm a very insecure person. If she were to take one shot across my bow, I wouldn't talk to her for a week. She'd be on the sorry end of a hissy fit.
It really is. I mean, I can't imagine. I'm not going to, I won't disparage you, but I can't imagine how miserable it must be. What kind of emotional despair must be weighing on someone's, soul, on their heart, on their brain, that they would choose of all the human beings, of the 7 billion that walk the big blue marble, that you would choose to live under the same roof with me. I can't sleep lately. I'm in misery lately. Because I wake up somewhere between, and this is literally true.
What are you worried about, though? I want to hear this. I'm sorry, but are you worried about things? Bills?
Always just worried. Always worried. I don't know what.
Setting the table? Is that a worry? Is that a concern?
With
our friendship?
What's going on with the Steelers? I mean, a lot of things are coming that are weighing heavy on
me. List those real quick, and I know that I hate when you list things. Do you worry about the Steelers first, Pirates second, Penguins third, your kids fourth?
The Sun's eventually going to go out. Yeah, and then we're all gone, and there will be no memory of any of this.
See, you go to this so many times, I swear to God, about you're worried about your legacy.
I'm not worried about my legacy.
No. That's absolutely true. On top of the legacy of you as a human being. You're not worried about like your CV as much as you are about what happens in 100 years when I'm gone. What happens if the Earth gets exploded and no one's going to remember us at all? Mm. That's a big thing. That's a big concern for you. You have the weight of the world is under.
I've reconciled that I don't have a – no, I do think that we individually – the paradox of human beings is that our intellect is what makes us number one. It's obviously an elephant could beat us in a fight. A bear could beat us in a fight, and so could a tiger and a cheetah and a snake probably too.
Okay.
But the reason that we win, the reason that the Earth belongs to us and no other beasts is because of our brain. The problem with our intellect, though, is that it's impossible for us. It makes us inherently sort of narcissistic or we ruminate about ourselves. But you can imagine, you can accept that everybody else is going to go away. But what you can't accept is a world without you. That's the conundrum of the human mind. You can't, no matter how much you think about it, accept that the world is going to plow forward once you're gone. And all the memories in your head, all your experiences will evaporate. Should I start singing Kansas's greatest hit?
I'm going to say it right now. Is this the rap that got you laid in college? Just going on and on. Just so you know, we have a bifurcated. On the one hand, we know we're going to die. The other hand, I can see that coming 20 years ago or 30 years ago.
You were busy with Squee drinking brewskis and stuff, right?
That was me, man. Yeah. Topical jokes.
You didn't even have a beer.
No, I didn't drink till I was 25.
So good. So then the Supreme Court's for you.
Let's get back to the mess that your life's in right now. Can I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
What gives you solace, though? What finally lets you sleep? Is it booze?
I take joy in my my cornucopia of little ones. You know, they delight me. They delight me in every which way.
But did that give you solace as far as, like, I know, okay, I'm going to be off this marble soon, but they're going to live on past me. So it is about legacy a little bit for you.
It has nothing to do with that, but we did talk about probably 15 or 20 years ago over our first, probably few or two or three kegs that we combined to reach the bottom of at Tom Bergen's.
Is this the AI thing? Go ahead. About artificial intelligence?
Well, that's right.
Now,
that's not what I was going to say.
One trick pony.
What I was going to say the reason we have children, the reason people want to have children, not solely, but I think that people like the idea of having children because on some level, they're replicating themselves. They're leaving themselves behind.
Yeah, of course. I get that, of course. But that wasn't what you were saying 20 years ago. You were also saying, I want people to take care of me. I'm going to be old.
That's also true.
And by the way, you also predicted your divorce back then.
I did not. But I will say this. You're exactly right. That was right. I said it's a long play to have children. Now, see, it's all washing back now. You're exactly right. That's what we talked about. You said, why kids? What do you need the kids for?
Right.
About 22 at that time?
Sure,
One
of us was 22, sure.
8, 9 years ago. And I remember you said, why the kids now? And I said, because it's a long-term investment. Sure. There aren't as many late night twisters when the kids come around. But when I'm 70, what else am I living for?
That's
nothing.
Right.
I'm not going to be doing anything. I'm not going to be an active person. I've told you, I'll live vicariously through my children and also smack. I'm getting a heroin habit.
I think that's a great idea. Nice suit. Go up and down Larchmont Boulevard on opium.
Ooh.
That's a great idea. But that, by the way,
like
was
William S. Burroughs around in a suit.
Our nights at Bergen's were usually like that. We would start talking about our sports teams and our lives and our job. Then we start talking skirt. Mm-hmm. That'd be it for a couple hours. And then it would always get to our morose place. We'd talk about death. Then Damage would go plug the meter. I'd see him again in a week and a half, leaving me with a bill.
Yeah, speaking of morose, I remember once you were in you had a puss on for some reason, and
your sister was with us.
Feeling set, and it wasn't that night, but it was.
Double date from hell.
It was not a first.
That was
of all,
me leaving early that night.
Double date. Well, who was the other one?
It was you and your ex-wife,
and my sister
and me.
It wasn't a double date.
No, what was it then? The four of us going out.
It was me with my sister and your pal, and we went out. Double date.
It was great. She ordered the wheel. It was awesome. She hit everything off it. No, she was a delight. I'll return her call one of these days.
You were feeling low about yourself, and you demanded that I order a steak and eat it in front of you. You weren't allowed to eat because you didn't deserve it in your mind.
That's right.
And and then upon completion, another steak. And I eat that, and then when I finish that one, then I take the big steak knife and I plunge it into your heart.
That was amazing.
You said if you do it, you'll be a friend. I remember that.
It was a great time we would have back then. Let's finish the sleep unit, which we were supposed to have 4 minutes on. Now it's been over 7.
I missed the production meeting.
I know. He did it again, Donovan. He missed it again.
Get a drink of my green Sprite. Excuse me. Go ahead.
Green cans by the case. Unbelievable. Can't have any pens in the office. We have green cans. Cases of green cans. But you're waking up really early in the morning and you can't get back to sleep.
That's right.
You're worried about not Bill. You're worried about everything. The life. You're worried about the president. You're worried about everything.
All of it. Well, I have to submit. I have to write something. What am I going to write about? Just everything. When you wake up at that hour, everything feels 10 times larger. And I don't know. Here's another. The other thing I can't get to the bottom of. Am I then fully lucid in under the cloak of night? And only then do I accept the gravity of my day to day or my overall existence? Or is it the other way around that I'm making it bigger than it is because I am alone, the only person conscious at the time. That's how you feel when you're awake at that.
I think
hour.
That's probably the latter.
It's probably not a big deal, and I'm over.
Well, the worries you have are always there. Like, you're worried about death, you're worried about your kids, you're worried about bills. Like, those things are always there. There's just nothing else to worry about at that time. But here, let me ask a question though: are you sleeping with Beth still in the bed, or are you on the couch or in the guest room again? Because no, and I'm so sorry to tell tales out of school, but here's my question. Like,
unlike you, I've never you're like a sitcom character.
Go ahead.
If you and the lady get cross with one another, I'm interested in how that goes down, because you're not the only person. But does she dispatch you? Does she say, I you're out of here?
Go, no.
You're on the couch tonight.
It'll be
I hope it was worth it. No. You're on the couch tonight.
No, it'll be me doing it. It's not the couch. It's our guest room, which is a bed kind of bigger than the one we have in our room. Just not as comfortable, but it's nice. I can spread out. Mm. So sometimes and this is really true, sometimes I go there when I'm sick or when we're in a fight. Either she starts or I start it. And sometimes I'll keep the fight going another night so I can spread out in the bed. Or, by the way, and this is also true, I'll pretend I'm sick an extra night. Yeah, you know, I'm contagious. Well, how about one more night in the bed? Me and Mom watching Scott Van Pelt at 11 with the volume on 15. No one telling me to turn it down.
I was thinking, Dave, you made some good points. I think you're actually right about, I'm sorry that I snapped at you.
Well, that's like, never happened in the house, her saying she's sorry.
I'm just trying to create a situation where she lets you off the hook and tells you you're right, but you still pick at her so that you get another night in the
What I'll do is I'll say something like, I saw, you know, I'm glad you said I'm sorry. That's great. But I saw the way you were looking at our next door neighbor. And then I'll pick some fight about me being jealous. I'll go on some sort of horrible rant. And again, I'm watching Inglourious Basterds at 11:30.
I've been watching a lot of Inglourious Basterds.
No kidding. Well, you've been up all night.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've been watching Roadhouse has been on. We're really in a plum spot. You're really my
Back
happiness.
Back to the Future is the one I'm watching lately.
That's been on quite a bit,
Outstanding.
Too. It really is. I've got to take proper notes. I did. I followed your lead. Roadhouse was on, and you said you showed it to your bride Jennifer, and saw it through her fresh eyes, her clean eyes.
It was outstanding.
Well, I did the same. You know, when it was on, I
who'd you show it to?
I showed it to
which
Beth.
Wife? No. Sorry.
And yes, it was. I mean, we happened on. I made her sit through the seminal scene, you know, in a movie of great. I don't want to go down the Roadhouse rabbit hole again, but I did get to experience that through virgin eyes of you know, when Dalton goes to get stitched up. As a writer, you must just it must be tough for you to watch, because you love it, but you're also jealous that somebody else came up with those words.
Here's the thing: that scene, though, I will put up against other scenes as far as the way it's written. I think it's a really tight, good scene, and I think they play it great. Pain Don't Hurt is awesome. I see you have a PA, what do you have a degree in psychology? No, you have a degree in philosophy from NYU. Like, you don't need that so much. How did someone like you get to be a bouncer? Just lucky, I guess. Yeah, that's not the best line in the world. You know, I thought you'd be bigger. I've never heard that before. Whatever. It's such
but
a.
But they're in love by the end of it.
Imagine though, she stitches him up, and then within a day, she's over there all tartered up, ready to rock and roll. She goes to the bar, and they have a kid. Here's the thing I don't get about Dalton's character. I'm sorry. Again, we're going to Roadhouse.
I don't like that
he smokes cigarettes. That seems against his character. This is a man who's tight and trim, who, by the way, everybody in that town, every male in that town at one point or another in that movie stares at him working out. From
It's so true.
And yet he's smoking. He's burning.
The old hayseed who rents him the barn.
Several times he like takes his hat off and scratches his head. What is this guy doing? But clearly he's some sort of arousal. But the fact that he's burning nails.
He's a bachelor.
It makes no sense that he's burning nails.
You're so right about
that. What is that about his character? Uh-huh. Like with Cobra, like was cutting the pie with the scissor. You're like, that doesn't, like, what is that thing? Like, I wonder if like Swayze was like, all right, I'm going to do this picture. I'm going to do this movie. But one thing, I'm smoking it. All right. And the last thing I'll say about it.
Lots of sexy Tai Chi. Shirtless Tai Chi.
Shirtless Tai Chi, but also Wesley's watching him have sex.
They're across a pond.
Have sex on Kelly Lynch on the roof, which is another thing. He's watching it. Like, the camera zooms in. Like,
it's also unclear what Brad Wesley's thing was, because she had to leave town.
What do you mean his thing is?
Well, I mean, he's fixated on her. Did they make time?
No. What is it? The blind guy says that he goes, just, you know, he was sweet on her.
Hey. Yeah, Jeff Healey, the late Jeff Healey. Hey, Dalton. Brad Wesley, word on the Brad Wesley.
He and Lynch making love in the river. He's just on the he's on the bank, just kind of like hanging out playing guitar while they're making love in the river. A river where there was a dead body in not 24 hours before, where he ripped the throat out.
Someone's esophagus is laying in the in that body of water.
No inquest. No cops called to the scene.
All right. See, we've made a mistake there.
Finish the story. Here's what I say about you being asleep. Does any do you wake up Beth? Do you say, "Hey, honey, let's go at it to put me back down"? What do you do? Read a book or something. What books are you reading?
That would be the most maddening thing I could possibly do.
Belushi scripts to read?
Oh,
I got 25 of them.
Oh, and what's by the way? Yeah, what's the show you're working on now? Everybody wants to know.
Yeah, great. I'm glad they get.
Why can't
you
tell people? The BTLs and monkeys love to know about your life, and you won't even give them that.
It's none of their business. That's my seat. That's the way I set my table. And this is that's not for them.
I've noticed a lot of speculation from the BTLs and monkeys on the social media.
I'm on the Frasier.
They're wrong.
How about that?
They're wrong. I'll tell them that, and that's all I'll say about it. Because I happen to know he did let me in. He got drunk. He blacked out, and he let me know what show he's working on. All the best with it.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man. But hold on. You wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and nothing happens. You just kind of stare awake. You don't get up, run, make some miles. You live in a very Tony secluded neighborhood. Make some miles.
I'm going to make miles in the middle of the night on a treadmill.
What you should do, not the callback roadhouse, put up a heavy bag in the garage and just hit that with tape up your hands and hit that thing.
Start doing Tai Chi.
Not now, mijo. Not this way. How many times have you and I said at Bergen's, Feeney, not this way? Not this way.
What a jerk he is, too. He's the best cooler in the business. But when he shows up and he finds his best pal, Dalton, getting worked over by a couple of Brad Wesley's henchmen, he just stands there and laughs at him.
He laughs, and the guy says, "Beat it, Dad." Like Sam Elliott. Sam Elliott was 42 years old.
Exact same age.
Beat
the
it,
guy
Dad.
Who
hurts,
says that.
Don't it? He's watching Swayze get his ass kicked, right, just shots to the ribs over and over again, and he's laughing at it. Then what? An hour later, he's like, I got someone I want you to meet. What? Like, imagine if someone worked you over, then an hour later you're introducing me to Beth? That's crazy.
Also, Wade Garrett clearly is making a play for her. He goes too far. And
Sure.
I'll tell you this. You ever put your mitts in that fashion on my lady—
Don't worry.
We're going to throw Hey, let's say hello to everybody behind the... speaking of ladies who covet us,
What does that mean?
The ladies of the two guys behind the glass here.
Donovan, is your mic on? Speak, sir.
Hello, Donovan.
Hey, guys. How's
there he
going?
Is. Lil Donovan's hey. All better now.
Yeah,
after
I feel
food
a lot
poisoning.
Better. I feel a lot better.
Yeah, that
what
show didn't go
last
so
week?
Well. We did, we just, because we wanted to check in, and we were overdue for that. You were unavailable because you were making pages on your
No. That's not the truth.
You called in.
I called in, but I was available. You guys were supposed to come meet me. I was in Chatsworth.
That's right. I forgot. We couldn't track you down. We were driving all over the place. But it was interrupted, though, because, like we say, Lil Donovan had a little bug.
I had food poisoning.
He was throwing up. I literally...
Were you sick from food poisoning over that Onion Shek's bit that Damashek did? The Del Taco thing. That I do remember.
I mean, listen.
Lasted 5 minutes. How many times did you say Onion Shek's?
I don't know.
30 times?
That's not your business. You weren't there.
I had to sit through it.
You didn't have to. You hung the phone up. But
I didn't hate. Okay.
We were just checking in. Donovan was infirmed,
It was rough.
And then the other guy, Whirlpool Gary there, Birdbath Gary, was turned around too. He had some jet lag or whatever.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, I was tired. Better now.
Are you?
Happy
you ready
to
see
to both my Daves.
But Laxy, did you get the map from the woman I work with?
I never got it. Celeste never sent it.
So you never... Okay.
Well, I don't know. It never came into my phone.
But by the way, I mean, I was there. We were shooting till midnight that night, and I had texted all three of you jackasses, like, where are you? No one responded, including the kid here. What happened?
Sick.
I was eating Onion Shek's.
Eating Onion Shek's.
I don't care what you think.
Who picked up the tab at that restaurant? Did you put some cash in or no?
What, a Del Taco?
Yeah.
I got it. I was the only
you
one
got
who
it?
Ate. Yeah.
You're the only one who ate. Well, I know Donovan. Gary didn't have anything?
No, I was too worried. I didn't want any more smells in that car than were already there.
Donovan, I can't believe it. Well, I'm sure it was a gangbusters show. Congratulations.
Did you, hate that
way,
show, Donovan?
Am I
you
the
think?
Odd man out? Should I not be on the show anymore?
I mean, let's feel this one out. Let's see how it goes. We're the three of us, riding around in that car, two and a half of us, really. Donovan, What did you feel like the show was just subpar or what, Donovan?
Yeah, I did. It was missing Feeney. It's Dave's of Thunder. We need the other
Dave. I don't care for that. I don't know what kind of critique.
No, but I'd say the same thing if you weren't there and it was just Feeney. We need both you guys.
Birdbath Gary?
I agree we don't need Lil Donovan.
Can I say something to you?
Please.
This is uncomfortable because, you know, I like them both. They're nice kids, both Gary and Donovan.
I'm not sure they're kids anymore.
Whatever they are. You know what? They try, kind of, sort of.
To that point, though, what's the finish line, Donovan, for you?
Mm-hmm.
What's the finish line? What's your career goal?
You know what? I have no idea.
You have no career goal at all.
No, I'm just
15
riding.
Years.
I'm riding this wave.
He wants to He wants to be the next star of A Star Is Born. They remake that every 15 years. Who would be your muse in that one?
Oh, I don't know.
What is that movie
in 15
about?
Years.
The answer is Dave Feeney or Dave Damashek. That's your muse.
That's
who?
True.
Dr. Drew, Corolla, whatever these fakakta shows you work on.
No, you guys.
BG. How is Plastic Girl? Is she okay? Do you talk to her at all?
I don't actually. I haven't talked to her in a while.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Where is she already? When's she coming in?
I don't know.
She has better things to do?
She stopped texting me.
Oh, my God. Wow. Sweet Lord. I feel bad about that.
Don't you feel like an ass now?
I do if for no other reason that it had to be done. Not had to be done, but she stepped over the line. What were the words you used?
Well, I don't – well, she said some untowards words that I wouldn't repeat here.
Towards you, towards me, towards Donovan.
I don't even
Gary.
Know why I was the victim of her.
Yeah, I agree. That was not fair.
I don't know why I was in the crosshairs there. Either way, they're sweet kids. They have they can't handle the weight, the gravity that it is to produce a blockbuster podcast like this one. Let's bring in a
ringer. It's a juggernaut, this thing, right?
Yeah.
A juggernaut.
It's grow. You know, I can tell you honestly, it's crazy the people that I'm hearing from about the show. Old pals. In Chicago are tuning in. People are delighted
by
this
saying?
Show. They love it. They think it's very funny.
Okay.
You know?
Right. What's that? Did they not listen to it before? Do they like this better than your other stuff, your other 15 podcasts?
What do I know? That's not the question.
Do these friends exist?
They live in Canada. Hey, the point of this show primarily is to settle all scores, all old hash, but also we like to look forward. You mentioned AI. I think we should, all due respect to you guys behind the glass, but I think we should audition a very 21st century kind of producer. Say hello to Jacuzzi Hal.
Affirmative, Dave.
Affirmative what?
I read you.
Okay. So you're going to be the producer for the rest of the show, at least, and then me and Feeney will evaluate you.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
I don't... Getting the hi-hat from a computer voice now.
I love
Dave,
it!
Dave, this conversation can serve no purpose anymore.
Look at that, the hi-hat. I'm starting to get... get nostalgic for Jacuzzi Pete. This is how he talked to us, too.
What I like about Jacuzzi Hal better than Jacuzzi Pete or the two jackasses behind the glass is Jacuzzi Hal probably won't bore us. And unlike Jacuzzi Pete, he won't eat all the Fritos.
Hey, so tell us about... It's not all work for you, as much as you have been toiling on your fancy network show.
I do.
You
okay.
Also made your way off to New England. Tell everybody more. I thought this was just lovely.
You're talking about the trip I went home to visit to surprise my father. Yeah, my father turned 70 back in a couple weeks ago, and the Red Sox played. We're big Red Sox fans, so I decided to surprise. I bought him, my mom, my sister, her husband, and her kids. Got all seats behind the Mets dugout against the Mets Friday. The
14th. You laid out for everybody.
Yeah, sure. And we went, and I surprised them. We saw them in Boston. They came to Fenway Park. I saw it was the greatest. They came down this the aisle, and they saw me in the seats. And my father could not have been more.
Did he weep?
No. He was so happy, but he's what a surprise, David! I can't believe you. Where's Jennifer? It was that's exactly how it went. No, she's not coming. She's with baby. You understand? Yeah, great. Would have been great if she was here, but okay, great, no problem. And then we had a. It was. It's one of these things with my father. And I've bored everyone before about the stories of my father, where he's just the nicest, sweetest man. No one worked harder than my father. But he's just sometimes a little clumsy. And I just am worried about that so much, because if he's a tripper, then I'm a tripper. Then I'm an awkward guy. And then within 15 minutes, I'm going to go get some peanuts. He's got to get peanuts. He tripped and almost fell going to the thing. So, of course, I'm like, Dad, I'm going to go with you, but I'm going to go to the bathroom. I didn't go to the bathroom. I had about five beers, like, immediately. I just downed them, bang, 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 bang. And no jive, I had about 12 or 15 beers that night at Fenway Park. I got good and loaded. And it was, and I don't know how many dogs I just, like, of course, with three goes five, then five becomes 10, and then 10 come the wiener. And it just went down my throat. And it was a beautiful time. And then just like once you're drunk again, you're feeling great. The Red Sox are getting killed. Ain't nothing. Oh, by the way, this was the game where it was on ESPN. There were rats in the Mets dugout, and a rat went under our chair. It was amazing. But we were there, and I was loaded, and I was having a great time. I took a million pictures, and it was all just bonhomie and good humor. And then, of course, we go, and my father – and then here's the weekend, Dad. Not only am I not going back to L.A. tonight, I'm going to spend the weekend in Rhode Island for your birthday. We're going to go. I'm going to make steaks. And my sister came down. It was just going to be a great time. Let's go home. Let's go back to my childhood home. We're going to hang out. We get in the elevator, go down to the thing. My father lost the car. Had no idea where the car was. My father had lost the car, and then all of us for about 40 minutes looking around this place to find the car, and then we finally found the car 40 minutes later, and I couldn't believe it. It was just the most awkward thing. All right, get in. Like, of course, we were giving him crap about it. All right, get in. He gets into his car and doesn't know how to unlock the side door. He's like, oh, and he's trying to unlock the side. The poor guy, the sweet, sweet, sweet man. It was just that kind of thing again where I was just feeling so – it was just so – but so delightful. He was just so happy I was there. And then you feel so horrible telling these stories. He's just the sweetest guy, and I was glad to do it for him. And it was really – of course, you feel like, oh, I wish I could do more. I guess I could do more.
Lovely story. What a nice
helicopter
boy.
Trip of Boston. Now, I don't know. Oh, by the way, the other thing we did was we took me and my sister. We met early. We went around Boston in one of them boats. In one of those
the
duck boats.
Duck thing.
It went all around the town. Got to see all the sights. It was phenomenal. Phenomenal.
What a fun time. But it also, I can say, one, you're lovely. You're as considerate a person as I've ever known in all my days. So I'm not surprised to hear that. But also, you have to understand that by telling this tale, that it shames me with my old man.
You're making my father's 70th birthday about you?
Well, that's right, because
my
old man's got 10 years on yours. By the way, these two, that they've never been together. They're diehard Red Sox fans.
Yeah.
My old man loves the Celtics, too.
Yeah, so does my
father.
These
two would be thick as thieves if we would put them together.
Your father did not answer his invitation to my wedding in Maui.
You know what?
I invited your father.
You know what else they have in common? I once walked into, I believe I've told you this before, I once finished playing golf with a couple of pals when I was, a younger guy, and I walked into the locker room, and my old man had played golf that same day on the same course, and so...
And you didn't know he was golfing that day?
I had forgotten that he was around, and we were walking in back through the locker room. And we were laughing because it's a constant. If you go into a golf locker room, it's inhabited by old men who have long since apparently, I don't know if there's some rule or people all just realize, yeah, I'm 65, I'm 70, whatever. Like, who cares what anybody thinks of me anymore? Men, when they get old like that, they just stand around nude.
Yeah,
when
sure.
It's just nothing but other men, they just,
sure.
They're very comfortable with their raisiny, shriveled, their flesh, and otherwise. Yeah. And we're laughing, like, look at these guys. And they're recounting their tales from the golf course, but they're nude as they're doing it. Like,
always.
Yeah, and I took out the, I was in the sand trap, and then they're making the motion of swinging the golf club in the trap,
God.
But they're nude. And you're like, wow, look at that. Don't these people, don't they have mirrors? What kind of behavior is this?
Of course. I'll never
be like this. And way at the other end, there was an old man sitting on the phone, and there was a chair next to the phone. He's sitting on the phone. I'm like, looking at this guy. Doesn't he have any? Does he have any? Can say he's nude sitting on that chair. What? Who puts their bare butt on the? Oh, that's my father. You and your old man
on the phone?
Yeah, talking on the phone, sitting there nude, and then when he sees us
coming
towards...
Did you greet him? Did he come over and walk over to you?
We didn't have to greet him, because from a great distance, he started waving at me and my friends.
He stood up.
He just was waving to us, sitting
there. At all.
He was doing it all.
Was that the first time
you'd seen... Chewing and walking gum.
Seen your father?
I mean,
naked?
Chewing and walking gum. Chewing gum and walking. Go ahead.
Is this the first time you saw your father naked in the longest time or no?
I suppose it was, yeah, probably, yeah. But you saw your old man nude on one of your little spring training trips.
He and I did all these trips, like I said, like we went to Houston to watch the Patriots, down 28-3 to beat the Falcons.
I heard about it.
Those trips, you know, my father always finds some sort of excuse to get naked, whatever it is, and I always see him hang brain, and I always yell at him every time, hide your shame. I just scream at him. What's the matter with you? This is not a locker room. Those locker rooms always make me crazy. Going in those things, these old guys, but you're absolutely right. Walking around with no shame, no humility. Again, like just making these weird moves with their bodies where you're seeing everything, and it always ends with them somehow powdering their ball sack.
I got news for you.
There's always some sort of some sort of talcum, you know, yes, shake down, and then just the smoke goes out. It's just the worst thing in the world. Uh-huh. Is that what's going to happen to us?
That's our favorite.
Is that what's happening to you now?
Supposedly, if we're lucky, that we'll reach that place. I'm not.
Your
so
boys
sure.
are going to be talking about this one day about you.
Yeah,
you're never going to be that. But by the way, though, here's a question: what's worse, though, seeing your father naked in this locker room full of naked old men, or like, where's my dad? My dad's somewhere, and he's in the shower, the big group shower, like in swim trunks. Wouldn't that be worse?
Ashamed?
Yeah, just like
no,
they don't need to see nothing. He's in swim trunks. That's crazy. Wouldn't that be nuts?
Yeah. That.
What if he tried to hug you naked in the locker room?
I've told you before. I think.
Would you want to hug him?
I wouldn't.
Do you think your mother goes to like lady locker rooms and is walking around nude? My mother, I know, has never done that. My mother is like me. She's ashamed.
There's no chance that Mo Damashek is parading herself around nude anywhere.
My father and I used to go play racquetball when I was a kid, and he would like, come to my racquetball club. We would go, and it would always be so much fun playing
what
racquetball.
What was with racquetball? That was such an early 80s phenomenon. Does it exist anymore?
No, I think they play, but it's not a big deal like it used to be. But we would always
Everybody did racquetball.
It was so much fun to play. But I was always just ruining it because, not unlike how you enjoy life, but you rue about death at 3 a.m, the racquetball game was not as much fun as it could because I was always ruining seeing my father naked in the locker room. Because there's always three things. Four things. You get naked in front of him, then you shower off, then you get in the hot tub. Right, he was always working his shoulder. Oh, my shoulder! It's like if you put the shoulder against the jet, and then it always ended in what? You get out of the hot tub, you go in the cold plunge. There was like a thing there, like full of ice water, and you go jump in that thing, and it's ice cold. And it's
my old man loves.
Up.
He loves the opposite. He loves the schwitz. He loves to go in
the sauna, not the steam room.
He likes a steam, like he's some character in a mob movie.
You don't like a steam room? My house.
I've never been.
We have a steam room in the house.
You do?
Donovan saw it when he was over.
You have a steam room?
Yeah, Donovan, you saw it, right, buddy?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. No, you didn't get in the steam room when I was passed out, did you?
No, I saw it from the outside only.
Okay, all right. That would have really upset me and really upset my wife. the steam. But I love a good steam. The sauna, I don't like sauna. I don't understand
a
sauna.
I'd like to try
a sauna.
I don't like a sauna either. Yeah, that's unpleasant. I've sat in one of those before. I've never done the steam.
Where's this conversation leading to? Do you want to come?
I feel terrible about my old man.
Let me first. Do you want to take a steam with me? Do you want to go to a lot? We can go to that place on Western, that Korean spa. Go there, walk around naked. You feel like a porn star in those places. Then you go into the steam room. It's a marvelous time. It's a marvelous time.
Count me in. Maybe that's what I could do for my old man's 85th. Take him to one of those.
Are you really jealous that I did that? Your father's really going to be upset. He's going to be jealous the fact that I took him to Fenway Park and you haven't done anything.
No!
But by the way, you have done stuff. You know what you've done? You've made him a star in this show.
Well, that's true.
You have.
I guess.
He's got his own segment on this GD show.
He does. He has the right. It's the famous bit now. It's Lee Reed's Bukowski, but he also likes to. If you get him on the horn, Donovan found this out. It's not when he reads Bukowski poems, but if you get him on the line, you better set aside a good half hour because I don't know if he's wearing pants or not wherever he is, but he's ready to talk on the phone to you and tell you about his all time favorite, Ted Williams.
Just one story about the great slugger Ted Williams. Ted, for those who don't realize it, hit more promised home runs in his career for sick little kids than even the great Babe Ruth.
What?
But if a reporter was on the scene, Ted would tell him to go shove it and get out of there, or I'm not going to see the kid. But if he got the kid out of there, Ted was there and would hit the home run. Every day when Ted was home during the home game season, he would go to the Jimmy Fund Hospital and give balls and bats to little kids, promise them home runs, and stand up to his word in the game that evening. He was a very dedicated young man to the kids in the Boston and every area, but was not a favorite of the Boston sports writers. However, he was dear to my heart. I'll just tell you that so you know what kind of guy the Big Slugger was. End of report.
Hold on. End of report. This is a man. This is not a well man. Here's my question. Did he, what happened? Did he call, who did he call with this story? Did he call you, Gary?
I can't tell.
That was me.
So out of the blue, he called you and just left on your voicemail.
Did he write
this,
a script?
This story. It sounded like he was reading.
I couldn't tell. That wasn't his normal cadence. It sounds like he's reading, but the pacing was not, I don't think he had it.
Far less tangents than he normally goes down, you know.
He did show some discipline.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Right?
He didn't kind of, go ahead. But why did he call you?
I guess he was bored.
I'm not.
Oh, my God.
It's a little unclear.
Oh, we got to get more
the
Red
Lee
Sox
report.
Stories.
That's great.
That is a good
idea. Did he do
idea.
Any poems or no?
We'll get to one of those in a minute, but I want to tell you about something else. Let me tell you about, I've just discovered this. You know how Pluto isn't a planet anymore? That has no meaning to what I'm about to tell you.
I hear it is a planet again.
It is?
That's what I just
heard.
It's
back on?
That's what I heard.
Terrific. Pluto TV. Now, that's the leading free streaming television service. I had no idea that this even existed until very recently, and now I'm very excited. You can watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV, it's the easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. What are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. And how about this, Feeney? I got a list for you. You ready?
Of what?
Here's where you can download Pluto TV
free. I like these lists.
These are your favorite devices. The list is thus. Your phone, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, anywhere else you stream, and most importantly, Roku. You can get it on Roku. Pluto TV. Pluto TV on your Roku or wherever else you stream. Check it out. I'm going to check it out for real.
That was just put in front of you. You're amazing. That's an amazing read.
I can read. I know. Can you believe it?
I know. Can I say something about that, though, Reed?
What's that?
Big fan.
Ah, well, that's very nice of you to say. I
miss
appreciate
you. Miss that.
That
face. Miss our days at Bergen's.
Can I tell you some great news? This is the best thing that's happened to me in at least a month. The other night, my girlfriend said, hey, we just got this. She signed up for one of these monthly services, Imperfect Fruit. You know, Imperfect Fruits.
And yeah.
And so we get a bounty of various fresh produce now. And she said to me the other day, I was sitting there.
Imperfect fruit.
I guess that's what it's
is
called.
Is it bruised fruit? Is it fruit that you get
I'm
on
guessing,
at a discount?
I,
are things this bad?
Yeah.
You're getting reject fruit. Is that what you're worried about?
Beggars can't be choosers.
At 3:30 in the morning. I haven't had a decent plum in weeks.
I got to get to a place where I can at least get the pretty good fruit order. So she handed me a coconut, like I was in a movie or something, like, and said, hey, but it had a straw stuck into it.
Right.
So, right, exactly, except that it had a straw in it. Mm. And she said, here, try. And I said, you know, I've never had coconut. And by the way, it's not milk. It's water.
Coconut water, sure.
I wonder why it's called water. If you have a grape, it's a grape juice. If you have orange, it's orange juice. Why does coconut get its own sort of classification as water?
That's
either
interesting.
Way, who cares about that? Because I took a sip, and the next thing I knew, I found myself on cloud nine. Have you had this coconut water?
I have had coconut water, but I'm going to ask a question. Is coconut a fruit?
It is a fruit.
It's not a nut. It's not also a, it's not a legume.
It's we've had this debate already.
I'm sure
Gary
have.
And I, right?
Right. However, I will correct a little bit. It's called imperfect produce, so I don't think they just do fruit.
Okay.
They do all kinds of stuff.
But, oh, so maybe look at Gary.
You're produce too.
Do you see what Whirlpool's doing? Do you see what Whirlpool's working on here?
Get a chicken breast on the cheap.
While you sling your insults, he's being entrepreneurial. He's reaching out. He's saying, hey, you know what? Imperfect produce, you know? We can hook you up with a couple imperfect Daves here and have an imperfect marriage together on Daves of Thunder here.
Got to get you guys a ziti.
For a few, yeah, thank
we
you.
We need that ziti.
Thank you, Gary.
So was this produce presented to you as some sort of present, some sort of gift, or is this just I went
it
shopping?
It was a casual
I got
offering.
The thing. Is
No,
coconut,
it was a casual, here, take a sip of
and you
of
drank
this.
The coconut water out of it with
a straw
like you're Gilligan.
That's right.
And, that's great. And how
and
was it?
It was delicious. Have you – you've had this.
I've had coconut water. I've
it
also
was like
coconut.
It was like a delicious shake. It tasted of coconut, of course, but also hints of almond ran through it. Oh, it was silky and delicious. I'm going to have more of those.
Did you eat the coconut afterwards? Did you crack it open and then eat the fruit of the coconut?
I didn't. No. No.
That's what the whole – you don't want to drink this stuff.
I don't
need
your counsel after I had – after I'm telling you about a nice story about me discovering coconut water and all you can do is point out what's wrong.
No, I'm saying – I mean – can I just be honest and say you loved an imperfect coconut? Imagine having a perfect coconut.
You're
how
right.
much better that would
That's
be.
That's true. Now, I'll say this.
Love yourself, man.
I've
get some perfect fruit.
You've heard me talk about it before. I told you previously the white peach is hereby out of the running for fruit of the year with the Shecky Awards because it has disappointed me one too many times. That was a warning shot across the bow for all the other fruits out there. But great news is the coconut is now in the mix.
I warned you. Gary, hit some stuff.
Exotic.
You are true, true champions. But for us, this is really a truly great group of world champions. That's what they are. They're world champions. It's got a team. It's tremendous future. That's what I'm hearing.
See,
the NHL
Mile.
Has not seen a three-peat in a generation, but I know you are ready for the challenge. I'm going to be watching so closely because – do you think you're going to be back here next year? I think so.
End of report. See, you miss my old man talking about Teddy ball game when you hear that.
Speaking of your old man, is there another spin? Can we hear one? Can we hear a poem from? Do we have poems there, Donovan?
I do.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Did I interrupt you,
that's
sir?
Fine. Go ahead. Let's hear from your favorite poet. If I'm
my favorite, Damashek Lee.
No, but Bukowski.
Oh. Yeah.
Here we go. Charles Bukowski.
She's the mom to Davey D and a nurse retiree.
Oh, yeah, wait, stop that for a second. We should point out to a new listener out there that that Mo, my mother, was originally the one who was reading these Bukowski poems, which tend to skew a little blue.
Yeah.
And scatological.
Sure.
And then my old man said, that's out of line. You shouldn't have your old mother do that.
A lady doesn't do that.
A lady shouldn't. Yeah,
that's
a little bit too crude.
Right.
And then we said, well, maybe the old man can do it. Oh, then that was fine. Yeah. So now we pick it up here.
She's the mom to Davey D and a nurse retiree. And now
Lee. Lee. Short Order by Charles Bukowski. I took my girlfriend to your last poetry reading. She said, yes, yes, I asked. What the f***? She's young and pretty, she said. And I asked, she hated your guts. Then she stretched out on the couch and pulled out her boots. I don't have very good legs, she said. All right, I thought. I don't have very good poetry. She doesn't have very good legs. Scramble too. Lee.
Can I say that's my favorite ending of one of his poems almost, when he ends it with scramble two. Meaning like make me two eggs, scramble two.
I just think
it's a great thing. And by the way, and I have said that to Mrs. Feeney a lot. Just scramble two.
Scramble two. Might even trump screw when you dispatch people
scramble
from your company.
It's outstanding.
What do you think about all that, Jacuzzi Hal?
Affirmative Dave.
I mean, I don't know. Is he any better?
Affirmative Dave.
He's punctual, and he I like that a lot. He doesn't. You can't hear him breathing heavy over the mic if it's open.
I got a good tweet here. Speaking of fruits, from a listener, Callum Sean David Hall, and he said, "A plum. Why is it? Why are things plum? It's lazy and it does nothing for anyone else. Why is plum the one? It's like, oh, that's a plum car. That's a plum idea.
Right.
Plums aren't that good. That's a great point.
You like plums, and though." It's,
I'm all right with them. Uh-huh. I don't love them, but it's counter to the other side of things. Three delicious foods, all used in the same vein. Colloquially, people will say that's cheesy, mm-hmm. that's hammy, or that's corny.
Sure.
I like all three of those foods.
Yeah.
To varying degrees. I like a nice corn on the cob slathered in some butter, grilled up next to a piece of meat. But a ham, bone-in ham, the most underrated, at least, of the breakfast meats, perhaps the best breakfast meat. And then cheesy. I mean, cheese is delicious. I can't imagine my life without cheese. Well, who decided to take even one of those words and use it as a way to condescend to somebody who thinks that they're being funny, but they're really not? And then they did it three times over, all with foods that taste good. It's upside down. Meantime, plums living the high life.
Who sent that tweet?
Callum Sean David Hall.
So, Callum, this is on you, sir.
And, Sydney, you built an incredible legacy in Pittsburgh. And congratulations. Keep it going. Fantastic.
End of report.
Take that, Callum. You sent him on a list about fruit.
Hey, can
and
I?
And it was a repeated bit.
Hey, we have a voicemail set up. We told you about it a couple few weeks ago. What's that number again there, Loxie or Whirlpool Gary or Jacuzzi Hal, any of you back there?
The number's 812-682-0044.
And have you guys listened to any of what's come in so far?
Yeah.
Are there a lot of them? A lot of messages?
There's more than I expected. There's quite a few.
All right. And do you like them? Are they worthy of our precious time?
There's certainly a few that are.
All right.
Man of the people. Are they worthy of my my time?
Because I have to go to bed. I'm going to be awake in just a couple hours now when I lay in there at 3:30 in the morning.
How about some physical exercise? Maybe you mow a lawn once in a while,
you know,
you'll sleep.
You know what? That's that is not bad a bad idea, actually. All right. So Whirlpool Gary, we're going to hear a voicemail or something now?
We got a few messages from the same gentleman. I thought we would just, let's start with the first one and see where it goes.
These aren't jokes or anything. This is a real voicemail.
This is a real voicemail from a real listener.
Okay, shoot.
Dave, Jay in Texas, big fan since 06. Hmm. Got to say, pretty upset about the Bonadich thing still, but I'm okay. I'm getting past that. But
Bonadich.
Lately you've been doing Dos Equis ads, and you've been saying more interesante. It's más interesante. Out of the myriad of producers you guys have, nobody has Duolingo over there. Mas interesante. You know, putting in a little extra effort, buddy. But hey, big fan. Love the show. Love you guys. Adios.
Jay in Texas weighs in with a critique of my Dos Equis reads. I will tell you this.
Good for him.
Dos Equis delicious. It is. It is. I could really stand one of those right about now. It would send me off into a wonderful 4 or so hour sleep for the evening. I'd love to have one of those. Meantime, I am excited for yet another fast approaching weekend of college football action in this college football season. Remember, a little exaggeration makes every story más interesante. Like Dos Equis, the only beer Steve Spurrier stopped for every time the crowd carried him off the field shouting, "Take me away, that Dos Equis isn't going to drink itself." But most importantly, remember to keep it interesante this college football season with Dos Equis, the official beer sponsor of the college football playoff. Should we also say it's the official beer of Daves of Thunder?
Oh, my God.
Do you think we should do that?
Can we?
Oh, it is.
We can make it that
I
way?
Oh, I love it.
All right. There
That's
you go.
That's great. Well, thank you, Jay. What's his name? Jay from
Two
Texas.
Two horses.
You Jay know? From Texas. Is that what it was?
That's
guy?
What Equis is, a beer, right? It's two horses.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the official beer of a sponsor of college football playoff.
It's two X's.
Oh. Dos Equis?
Equis is X in Spanish.
I was thinking equine. Okay. Mm-hmm. Why? Does that mean it's like for bad boys?
Maybe.
Double X. the double X. Okay. Well, either way, you should drink Dos Equis responsibly. 2018 imported by Cervezas Mexicanas, White Plains, New York. The official beer of Dave's of Thunder.
Is that kind of the – first of all, another great
read. Thank you.
A plus.
I appreciate that.
I don't mean to compliment you all the time. I don't mean to kiss your ass, but you're a master at it. Here's my question, though. So are a lot of these messages kind of just people correcting Damashek's grammar?
Is that what this Jay from Texas is about? Oh, yeah. You said he had two more. Go ahead. Yeah, let's hear from him again.
Let's check out the second one.
All right.
Hey, Dave. This is Jay in Texas. watching football on Sunday, and it's all the Clay Matthews lady, which whatever. But got me thinking. I think he's profiled because of his white trash stringy hairdo and his white trash who has had stringy hair in the past. I feel kind of triggered. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there for you. Love you guys. Big fan.
Oh, God.
What do you think about
that? He's a busy man, clearly. A lot of irons in the fire, this Jay from Texas.
I had Dos Equis or two in his day. But it really turns around here if you want to hear the.
I appreciate him caring.
It's spellbinding.
Dave, this is Jay in Texas. I've called before. Hey, if the whole Louis Interesante thing was the reason that we got just one short episode this week, I would like to formally apologize and first and foremost say that I am a big fan. Big fan. So. Anyway, you know, I got a little intense with the duo and different, you know, big fan. Keep you coming, fellas. Bye.
He got a little over.
That's amazing. That's, you know, I love that he was contrite and he called
in. It takes
in.
A lot of guts to make a call like that.
That
he knew he'd
so
made a mistake.
Great.
And each of those calls came with a 2-day gap. So he saw he's been calling all week.
Wait a second. So he called, and then 5 days later
was the last call. Yeah, that's
he calls like I've been thinking about it these last five long days.
He wasn't sleeping at 3 a.m.
That's why I picked those three. I like the dedication.
I haven't been able to live with myself.
I love this guy.
Jay. More calls from you. I like
more
it very
calls.
Much.
Can we send him a T-shirt or something? One of the 27 T-shirts. This Corey Seymour.
Let me
tell
you something.
Made us buy.
Yes, listen, small businessman Corey Seymour working overtime to get you your Daves of Thunder T-shirt.
He lets us know it.
We have the Mount Pius T-shirt there for you. I think that might
Daily.
Be my favorite one. But I like the spirit of the Mount Pius T-shirt. This is where you perch yourself if you wish to look down and judge human beings from on high. Mm. It's a handsome T-shirt. And then also the gray Daves of Thunder one, the I think they call that like collegiate kind of font or whatever.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
It's another handsome
that's
one.
That's beautiful. And by the way, bestseller. I mean, it's selling like hotcakes, according to this, Corey.
Get all of them. Oh,
we haven't gotten a check yet.
We have a brand new one coming up, right?
We have a brand new one. Also, what about Feenster's Union and the Czech Republic?
Those have to be selling all.
And the Jacuzzi Pete one may rest in peace.
We got them all. Who knows? If these two play their cards right, maybe Gary and Donovan can share a T-shirt.
What would that be?
I'd love a shirt.
Do you want a shirt?
I want a shirt.
Really? Just one of you face down on a street after getting your ass kicked by five guys?
I'd buy it.
I'm sure you would.
One in your girlfriend's backpack. Or stick it in a basket like E.T., like Elliot's basket.
There's a whole series.
Did she talk about me, your girlfriend? Did she ask about me?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Does she really? Oh, my God, yeah. What is she?
This is completely true. Every time she goes, hey, what are you up to? I'm going to go record with the Daves without missing a beat. Oh, tell Fina say hi.
That's right.
Hmm, interesting. How about Joy?
You know why, though? You know why? I'm sorry, before I hear about Joy, you know why she's asking about me? Because she walked on my ass. She walked on my ass and back. Remember, I was prone on the floor. She walked on my back.
I have photos.
How was that? Did she talk about that at all?
Of course.
Have you made love since?
We have, but it's different.
Yeah. Oh.
It's different. How is my girl Joya there, Whirlpool Gary?
She's well.
Will you do me a favor?
Maybe.
Give her my best.
I don't like this. I don't like this one bit.
Dynamite lady. At Joya. Dynamite lady. Okay, I think we've covered it all here, Feeney. Do you or no? Do you feel like there's more meat left on the bone?
It was a hell of a time. It was
a nice
again,
time.
Once again, a blast hanging out with you. I couldn't love you more. Do you think that we fell in? You think you and I are closer than we were when we started spitting an hour ago? Or are we less close?
Yeah, I feel like we worked out some hash. Oh, you know one thing I did want to talk about.
I do want this to be a workout for you, though. I want this to be a love workout. So you do sleep, for crying out loud, more than 3 hours tonight.
I know. It's terrible.
It's going to kill you, sir.
You know what's happening to me? Like, I really find myself sweating, you know, like, because I have.
That's not new.
I can't. No, but I mean in a different way. Like, I can't regulate. When you're this exhausted, you can't regulate your body temperature, and suddenly you find yourself like, whoa, why's my whole body feeling dewy all of a sudden? Mm-hmm. I don't know what, because I'm turned around. I was talking with one, I'm going to name drop here. I was talking the other day with Maurice Jones-Drew. Another show. It's called, by the way, if you're a football fan, it's called the Dave Damashek Football Program. As we move into the heart of football season, I encourage you, nay, demand that you check it out wherever you find your favorite podcasts, like Dave's of Thunder, and also like the water cooler. Is that what you guys are still calling it? The water cooler?
Yeah, that's right.
It's doing well, huh?
Yeah.
Mazel tov to
you. What show is that?
The one that they do over at the Corolla
Studios. What
happened
to Resume, whatever the hell that was?
It's under the Resume feed. So we do a show with like just the staff, and we just just talk.
Oh, I want to tell you two other things. I've made a couple other appearances recently. Mm. I have one. I was on the Adam Carolla show, as I am always, doing the Good Sports segment. But he was out of town, and so for the start of the week, you can dig this one up. I sat in with Bald Brian and Gina, and we had a gay time. We listened to music, we laughed. It was wonderful.
Did you plug our show?
Yes, I did. In fact,
hesitating.
It in there, right?
I made a great plug-in.
Yeah, I made sure that we got a good plug-in.
Did we talk about me at all?
I think his name came up.
Yeah.
It also, the name David Feeney came up at this very table when I recorded a brand new episode of the Broadcast Podcast.
What is that?
It's with the MVP, and who you've met before, the producer of my football program, and her friend Erica, Ricky Hollywood.
They have a podcast?
They do. Yeah, they do.
What do they talk about?
They talk about it all, you know? They said that they consider this show and our approach to be sort of an inspiration, a North Star, if you will.
In what way? How do they copy us?
They like it, they find it nice that we're two people who sit down and talk about each other, and we leave the rest of the world behind.
Were you entertained by their podcast? Were you entertained?
I was entertained by it. Yeah, I'm a big fan of it.
Okay, you're a big fan of it?
Yeah.
Okay. They talked about the show. Did they plug it? Did they talk about me?
Yes, they did talk about you. And they said they'd love to have you be a guest on it.
Yeah.
But then Ricky Hollywood said, well, that will never happen because David Feeney can't stand me.
I don't remember her. I'm so sorry. I don't even know who this person is. I remember Emma. I don't remember the other one.
Either way, listen, they'd love to have you be on there. It's a terrific show, and you should check that one out, too. But yes, your name did come up there. Mm. And what else did I want to mention to you? Well, that's about it, I guess. Yeah, so be on the lookout for the new Broadcast Podcast. And then also that Adam Carolla episode.
Shouldn't we go over what shows you're plugging, these shows that I've never heard? I'm putting my name on these shows, too, because I'm a part of this show.
I'd love to plug your show, but you don't want it to be said.
What I'm saying is, like, these podcasts that you're on, like, is good. If Good Sports, it's fine. I know Brian. I know Carolla, whatever that is. I owe him a lot. But, like, this other one, I've never heard it before. I've never heard the Water Talk before. I don't know any of these
shows. It's their show. It's Gary and Donovan's show.
I don't know how they work. I don't know if they work blue. I don't know if they work if they get racist. I don't know what they do on it. They're misogynistic. Is it funny? Is it interesting at all?
It's not like I've ever heard it.
Oh, you don't listen to it.
No, I've heard it.
Sometimes at 3 in the morning when you can't sleep, do you listen to yourself on the radio or the podcast? You don't listen to your voice at all?
Can you imagine that would satiate me at 3:45 a.m.?
Sure. I don't know anybody more vain.
That's right. I'm vain. I'm not a narcissist. Can't you distinguish between the two?
Do you ever just, again, and this is me working.
A narcissist. No. Let me just tell you something.
Yeah.
I am not a narcissist. Mm. I am vain. And it is my vanity that demands your attention. It is not that I think that you should pay attention to me. I don't think I'm doing anything that demands that you pay attention to it. I merely wish desperately that you would pay attention to it.
Why?
A narcissist thinks that you have... Wait, you aren't hearing what I'm doing? What's wrong with you?
Why? That's not my why do you think you're that way? What makes you that way?
I'm not here for
you. No, you brought it up.
Couch.
I'm just curious.
I don't know why. That's just the way I'm built. That's the way I've been for my 37 years on the planet. How sad is that now I have to use 37 as a lie? That's the lie. That's my lie. That's like the guy who once called me up in the middle of the night and said, I can't go into details, but I need some money. And he said, can you meet me at this street corner?
And Jay from Texas?
I went and I picked him up and he jumped in the car. And I mean, it was after hours. It's well past midnight, whatever it was. And so I get him in the car and he said, I'm sorry, I got to borrow $700. I don't remember how much, $700 though. And his story was, you can't tell anybody about this. You can't tell any of our employers about this or anything else. But I have a gambling problem and I swore I would never gamble again, but I got into a card game and now I owe blank amount of money to the guys or else, you know, something bad. It sounded like a weird movie. It sounded fishy that he had to pay somebody off for a late night poker game, high stakes poker. And I ended up picking up money at the, you know, at the ATM machine, and then I dropped them off in a Burger King parking lot. I mean, very late at night, I had to leave them there, and then I later realized he had a severe drug problem.
Yeah, it's clearly some sort of horrible.
I was naive. I didn't know. But imagine that's the same thing. It's a wow. Things are really grim in your life. If you're using high stakes poker loss, they're going to break my fingers if I don't pay them, and that's your fallback lie. Things are really grim.
To go back to your earlier point, though, I do not think that you're a narcissist, nor do I, Louis. I think you're vain. I think you're a good-hearted person. Excuse me. You're a good-hearted person at the end of the day. That story about the Burger King, whether you just made it up or not, it tells me that, you know what, you're a good person. I just think, and this is the God's honest truth, I think you're a sweet person who was not brought up on the social graces. You were not taught the social graces. That's why you're late. That's why you're a half hour late a lot of time. That's why you don't know it. That's what it's about. And I think it's because
I was being told Ted Williams stories. I was trying to get out the door.
It's because no one made you do chores when you were a kid.
I'm not interested in
you. Didn't shovel one goddamn walk. You didn't mow one goddamn lawn.
True. I absolutely was outside shoveling that snow. Pittsburgh snow.
Okay, one more time, because you mentioned those other podcasts, do me a favor, hit me with 45.
It's called winning, right, Sydney? Called winning.
End of report, scramble two. Go. Oh, I didn't mention backpagepress.com. That's where you get these handsome t-shirts.
That's a plug I like. Yeah, we have a new shirt coming out.
Why is that? Does that have to be a secret? Can we just tell people what it's going to be?
What do you think? Of course,
it's obvious what it's going to be.
Can we tell them, Donovan? Can we share this?
Yeah,
has this been cleared?
Yeah.
It's all good.
There was that gray area in the meeting.
Take the bus, okay. Sammy.
We
got a Take the Bus Sammy gem coming at you. Feeney has meticulously designed this one himself, so you will honor him by getting yourself one of these t-shirts. And then we'll see how that one moves and if it...
Like hotcakes. Because you know what? It has the writing on it, and not just the writing. It has your punim. And it has Dave Feeney's.
If we're moving a decent amount of units there, next project,
go ahead.
The Donovan and Gary t-shirt. What do you think about that? Got to figure out what that design is.
I think, again, it's Gary as Elliot and Donovan as E.T.
Awesome.
I think that would be outstanding.
And then in the background, their respective lovers on the phone with you and me.
Giving us a call.
All right, we'll have to figure out. I want to do something nice.
My back has never
show.
Felt better, by the way,
really?
When, after she walked on it. She was a magician with those toes.
Hey, so will you do me a favor? Give my best to Joya, please. Thank you, Gary.
I don't like this.
She's a dynamite lady.
Is that an inside joke from the other show? Was this an inside joke? I don't like the repeated bits. I don't like you going on those two skifoses. I don't like you going on that podcast either.
The couple of nice quintazis. It was nice to sit with them, help two aspiring young podcasters out. It was great fun. I encourage you to listen to it. All right, so that's that then. We've gone very long.
We're well past an hour. Or we've just started, if you know what I mean.
Ah.
No, it was a hell of a time. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate being back. I'm sorry I missed last week. I'm sorry I could all call in. Really, the lead that was buried is that I'm very upset that you left me hanging out to dry last week. Me and Chatsworth till midnight.
Did you almost just shake my hand, though?
Yeah,
I almost shook my hand.
I was going to shake your hand, but then I realized that I want to get on your lap in about 30 seconds. I won't have it. I'm going to cover
you in kisses. We have Do we have a song? Let's save the song. What do you think about that? We'll save the song. We appreciate all the songsmiths out there that keep dropping music in our direction. We eat it up and how. You know what, though? We got it. Well, go ahead.
No, please. Please go ahead.
Are you just giving a signal to somebody?
No, no, not at all. Not at all.
That's it. So we'll be back with a fresh episode for you next week. There it is. See? Isn't it better now? Maybe this is the antidote to my sleepless nights. Just play the Yub Nub song
on
a loop.
Listen to last week's Days of Thunder?
I love...
Knock you out.
I'm just talking Yub Nub, friend. All right. Well, that...
Onion shacks.
Listen.
Pull that out of a steamer trunk, that bit. Couldn't believe it.
All right, listen, I was trying to feel good there for a second.
Oh, I feel great. No, I'm so sorry. That's my fault. I feel terrible. Come on. Now we need a hug.
All right.
I'm going to walk on your back.
For Whirlpool Gary. We're never going to hear from Jacuzzi Hal again, right?
I think we can.
We can? Somewhere,
Donovan has no idea.
Somewhere out there in the metaphysical universe... Jacuzzi Hal and the ghost of Jacuzzi Peter waging war and how. All right, so we'll be back with episode 81 for you later on, sometime next week. Until then, again, for Whirlpool Gary and for Lil Donovan and for Jay from Texas, Dos Equis, Pluto TV, and especially the great David Feeney.
Oh, thank you.
And a belated happy 70th to his old man, too.
Oh.
And to Ted Williams' biggest fan, and to everybody else, the BTLs and monkeys. We'll talk to you next time.
Lee showers in a bathing suit, Damashek.
Mo patrols in herself around nude all over. Never, never. That would never happen. Anyway, it's been a thin slice of heaven.